All right, welcome back to the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dan Quinn, live at the podium out in Ashburn right now. We take you live to Dan Quinn.
All right, what's up, everybody? All right, our final kind of wrap-up, training camp, roster decisions, all of that, to kind of discuss that. After today's practice, the players will also get a three-day break over the weekend. And they need it too. Our times together with them are really intense, so their time to recharge and go. But practice today is really squarely on us and things that we need to hit on, things we need to work, timing, execution, our skill work, end of the game situation. So we're going to go right back into it, into that spot. And finally, and most importantly, Mike Sainristil and John Jones are excused today for two very good and special reasons.
Okay.
It's pretty weird, yeah.
It worked out last year. With Terry and Jane, like, how much are they able that they're doing to just maybe get that connection back? What are there some of the little things they're doing to regain that?
Yeah, I think more of it just, time on task, John, honestly, to say, do they have experience together? Yes. Banked reps? Yes. But still, like yesterday, we ran a deep play action, that was over to Terry. That was like a good route that you'd seen before. So now it's, hey, let's work this one some more, this one a little bit more. So Jaden's excellent with that, to work a specific route with a specific player on some things. And so that's what you'll see more with him and Terry, extras, earlies, this specific route, this timing, because it's not all the same for every player. And so that's kind of the challenge of it, from a quarterback and a receiver, not the playing zone where you're, back facing the quarterback, but, deep overs, comebacks, the timing of it. So that's what they'll continue to work through.
Obviously, they're both very good players, right? But together, they, the connection, the reds and all that, is there something else about how they are, how they operate, besides just being good, that allows them to have a certain connection?
I would say the complimentary reason that comes to mind first, I would think, John, is one's an exceptional deep ball ability to go track it, and the other's exceptionally throwing it. So I think maybe there's I've never really thought of it in that way, but there's probably some complimentary football that goes to one another. So here's a guy that can really go and get on top of people and catch it over different shoulders on a deep ball, and a quarterback who's got the touch to do it. So I think that's probably the biggest complementary piece, of their games, that they're able to, support one another on the things, two of the things that they both do really well.
To the guys who made this squad, they take a deep breath, exhale. What about you guys who sat there and went over every different name and every player and went back and forth?
Yeah.
When you finally make that 53, how do you guys react?
Yeah, it's a hard thing. It's not as hard as the players going through it, that's for sure. They have the toughest spot. But there were a lot of ones that kept us up at night. Let's think through it again. Get a late text from Adam, this and this. So, like a either or, a scenario. And so I like going through those exercises with him, Chick, because it also gets me to think and think of it in different ways. And so I had from my own knowledge, I wanted the coaches, they're going to rank everybody at this spot and what their roles would be week one. What about week five? So we could think about what it looks like today and then what it looks like a month or two from now. So as coaches, you do have to think that way. And then also, I know we talk about practice squad and not, but I think of it like 70 men, knowing that here you're counted on to be responsible, to be ready. And so if that's an elevation this week or a following week, it's going to happen. So I want them to just prepare and play in that way. So it's not like they don't get reps at practice. They do. And I want to make sure that, these are the standards and how we have to go about them.
And with the departure of B-Rob, a guy like C-Rod, Chris Rodriguez, he's been here now 3 years. His evolution is what to you?
Consistent, for one. I would say, when somebody can demonstrate over and over again that they're willing to put the work in, find the right read, just not just the physical skill, but mentally, on the special teams. Like, he's a player chick that this team really trusts. If you ask Larry, like yesterday, he was giving the look on punt to another player who's playing the wing. That's the same spot Chris often plays. So that move that he hit, he knows what stresses him. And so I thought, what a great example of, like, Jeremy and him providing the look of things that can be troublesome to some of the other players. And if you can get your team to a spot like that where they're testing one another and pushing one another, that's a really big deal. And I think Chris is a great example of that. I saw it in the preseason games, whether he was just excited when Bill had a big run against Cincinnati, as he was for himself. And so that doesn't happen all the time. But I like his fight. I like that he really worked hard to change his body. And, you know, those are things that when people continue to show you that, then, like, you pay attention.
To follow up on that, did you intend to keep four backs? Once you guys traded Brian Robinson, did you know you would keep four backs? And how much did Chris's play in, you know, preseason camp, and I guess even late last season, kind of play into his getting a spot this year?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think it was definitely, like, usually it's at the skill spot. How many tight ends, how many running backs? The evolution also of the return game, Nikki, that's influenced me too, because those are more plays and examples to go see if we can, you know, further even that starting field position. You know, right now at the touchback on the 35, we're anticipating a lot of people putting it into play, but we don't know that yet. And so I think that part of the game does, it feels running back-ish. Not to say that Debo is a receiver, but he runs hard like a back in a lot of ways, so he's certainly another one that we'll have. But I think that is a big part of it. We think of like an A-back and a B-back. Austin out of the backfield, third down. So it's not one size fits all, but I do like the versatility of the room.
Cliff said a week or so ago that you can't really tell what the offense is until you got some of the pieces back.
Right.
Now that you have those two receivers back, I know you don't have Sam Cosmi back yet. Are you able to see what the offense is yet? I mean, given the limited time frame before the opener?
Maybe not fully, but I do know that, like, we've still run the same. So it's not like the system changes. So putting them into some of those plays may look differently because of who the ball player is, you know, at that spot. But it's not like a new system comes in. So I think that's important to know for 10 others on that specific play. They'll be doing the same exact job. So let's face it, with, well, that, I think it grows, you know, like, I'm hopeful that the team we are in one is going to be really strong, and stronger in four and stronger in eight as we're building it. And if we hit all the marks, then we should do that. Our skills should get sharper. But I like the competitiveness at the receiver spot. And it's not just, you know, Terry and Debo and Noah, but like Jalen is that way. Luke is that way. Like, these are guys that like to battle for it. Our league is made up of a lot of contested catches. And it's one of the things Terry's exceptional at. Debo's in that same space. Noah is there. Certainly Luke and Jalen, they make up like a fierce competitive group. And so that's important. And knowing that, like, in tight coverage, these guys are going to go fight for the ball.
And sir?
Hey, Dave.
I know that the offensive line is a unit, and John's part of that too. And so there's a lot of moving parts. But do you have a working theory as to which side you'd like to run to on third and two, fourth and one?
You're like, I like that you included John. I think Don Warren would be awful proud of you to put the tight end as part of the O-line. He is an exceptional blocker. I don't know that yet, no. But I do like the athleticism of the group. And so we have tested gap pulling schemes to the left, to the right, putting different guys in different spots. Coleman's been back in there. He's another guy that can get to the move. We've improved also in the screen games because we're ready to go to one side. But as far as, like, hey, on fourth down, got to have it going to this side, we're not there yet to say this is where the ball is going to go.
You're not there yet with...
Yeah, or I'm not there to share that with you yet. I might be closer to that than I'm letting on, but I am... I'm closer than you.
Next week, with the schedule, how much Packers do you put in next week along with the Giants, given that you got a short schedule the following week?
The coaches really had to be the ones to put it in over the weekend, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So while Adam and I were busy with that, they really dug in on Green Bay. And so that way, when they could then, as the week went on, then it kind of shifted. But having a Thursday game is challenging. Having a Thursday game at week two is better than week seven, because having, I don't know if the term would be exactly right, like a preseason bye, you know, how we've changed the schedule. So this window allows flexibility. I'm sure some teams are just doing, hey, 2 weeks on the opponent they're playing in the opener. But with that Thursday, there is some windows that the coaches aren't with the players, and they had Sunday off. I met with them by myself Monday. The players then had off Tuesday to begin practice Wednesday. So there was some pockets that they were able to do that. And then you have to shut the folders and put that in the drawer, and it doesn't come back out again until that Monday. But it did help.
It did. Fourth down success last year was such a big part of the team's story. Like, history and, like, just probability would say it's very difficult to duplicate 87% success rate in fourth
Agreed.
Down. How do you approach that? The idea that you're, you know, chasing that, but it's also, you know, probably not something you can, like, count on achieving again.
It's not all one, you know, going into the game, sometimes it's, I want to make sure we're stealing another possession. So there's some strategy going on with that. It's about, like, nine drives or so a game as you're going through it. And so how do we gain an advantage on somebody? Sometimes going for it on fourth does that. Where's the kicker, you know, comfort level to go into that space? And then it's really by the distance. You look at the opponent, you know, where do they fall on the end ones? How about in twos? You know, where do they play on the threes and fours? If it's a certain style, maybe you're more apt to know what you're going to expect. But, yeah, Jaden was a big factor, you know, in that 87% or whatever the number was. There was a handful for sure that was called one thing, and then something happened and, like, he made the rest go down. Like, we don't have a play called that. You don't want to count on that. That's a reactive way of the ball player doing his thing, but you don't want to lean into that. I think that's irresponsible. You want to make sure, hey, this is what we think we're going to do, how we're going to go down. But really by game is we make those decisions as much as we can before the game. So going in, the coordinators know what to expect, how we're going to do it. And then as the game unfolds, I'll communicate with them, you know, where we're at. But I think the secret for me on the telling the coordinators is early in the drive. So no one's ever caught off guard. Hey, we're going to go for it here, you know, like, because it can impact some of your third down calls if it's into fourth down, knowing that you may have two downs.
Follow up on what John's asking for about, you know, quarterback receiver connection. You've defended a lot of those. You know, you had Matt and Julio in Atlanta. For you, like, what are kind of, like, the, you know, earmarks of what makes a great quarterback-receiver tandem, aside from just, you know, great skill on by both players?
From my defensive perspective, you know this route's going to happen, and they still complete it. Like, that's the hardest. Like, damn, we talked about this throw or this route, and they're so exceptional at that, that they were able to, you know, put it in the right location at the right spot. But it is a real thing. The connection, chemistry, all of that matters. The best of the best players, they spend a lot of time together. That's even outside of coaching and that, to make sure those moments are delivered upon. But we're fortunate that Jaden and Terry are two that do that extra.
Hey, Dan, you mentioned...
Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be back. You mentioned Jalen Lane. I guess I'll start with a specific question. You knew what you were getting in him kind of when you drafted him. What has surprised you about him over the past couple weeks?
We knew the punt return ability was really strong. What I probably didn't know, and I knew he was fast and explosive, but the way that he's taken to coaching from Bobby, you can almost see the drill work come into the play. And so, like, there's a specific way you run an option route when somebody's on you. You don't want to hustle too quickly because then the defender's not really into the stress. So seeing him fully express how to work somebody into a technique, that's a really big deal, because in college, especially on offenses that play really fast, there's not as much man-to-man. And so that's one of the things that can be more challenging for a slot or a wide receiver that's playing in a tempo offense, like, because college plays faster than we play. So you see less matching and tight coverage. So they're able to run their routes at full speed and hit it and go to the next play. And so running an option route, defeating leverage, beating people in man-to-man, that's been an impressive, I'm not going to call it catch-up, but like development from the time he's arrived to where he is today.
And then a philosophical question. I know he played for his dad in high school, and you probably get a lot of guys who are sons of coaches. Is that like an overblown thing, or is there something different about guys who grew up around the sport in that way?
That's a better question for Jalen. I would say it's got to factor in somehow when you're 5 years old and you're at football practice when other people aren't. You saw things that happen, and I'm sure, like, you know, it matters. You know, Cliff's father was a defensive coordinator. So, you know, that different sides of the ball, and coached him as the – so he said, yeah, try throwing an interception in high school when your dad's the D coordinator. You know, not so easy. So with Jalen, like being around football his whole life, is that a factor on why some of those things are coming easier? Possibly. But at the end of it, man, like, I like just the work that he's putting in. For these rookies, what they're doing right now, this is the hardest thing they've ever done. And that's a real thing. But they'll make it, you know, but they have to put in the work, whether you grew up as a coach's kid or not. Like, it comes down to what we do out on the field, on the grass, like at practice. That's where it has to go down. And I'm encouraged because what I've seen from him is this steady rise.
Good afternoon, Coach.
Got time for three more.
Yep. We talked extensively about you taking lessons from your first head coaching run to this one and not copy-pasting, making things better this time around. Having led a previously successful team through training camp this year, what are some of the lessons you pulled from that last experience to this one?
I really lean in, David, and you'll appreciate this from the military side, is the after actions. What did I like? What did we need to do differently? What needs to stay the same? And so that prepared me to go into, okay, from a coaching side, in these practices, we changed the length of our individual session to being longer. They wanted more time on more skill work. The team's in better shape now, so we practiced a little bit longer. We got more reps than we did last year in almost the same amount of time. So we're becoming more efficient, but because the guys are really fit and they're ready in the system, it's allowed us to practice more. So that's been a benefit. So I'd say, looking back before you begin the planning of what took place on the last training camp, what did I like? And I just finished this year's of things I liked. So as I'm, that'll go into the drawer and be ready for 26. But it does help to have an after action process to say, this went well, we need to do this more. And that's how I went about it.
Hey, Coach, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm trying to decide which one. So when you take a look at the preseason and you all's performance, run defense performance, what were your takeaways there, and how did that mirror to what you all, where you all landed on the roster?
Sure. I would say our tackling got better as we went, Candy. So first game, I didn't like it at all. Second game got better. As we got to Baltimore, I liked it better. As far as the run defense goes, if I just counted the preseason games, it'd be incomplete. So in totality, I like where we've added guys into the mix. Eddie, JK, Wise, like, these are some big, strong guys inside. So I'm pleased with the trajectory there. So it was a combination of adding some personnel, and then I would say, like, the technique feels better going into it. It'll always be something I see us working on, but our tackling, that's, to me, the top of the pile. And we're not where I think we need to be and will be. I feel that way every year at this time because it's the thing we don't do full on. And so tackling feels like it gets better defensively kind of as the season grows, and you got to stay on the skill for that. But I'm much more pleased than I am a year ago sitting here at this time, that's for sure.
Hey, Coach. When you look through training camp and preseason, was there any wow moments for you that you did not expect to see?
Man, that's a good one. Going into the season, the communication defensively reached a new level, and I was pleased to see that, Don. And like, that may not seem like a wow one for the coaches, I mean, for the fans or for somebody watching practice, but the level of focus it takes to get that communication right, I know that the players and the coaches, man, they are putting in work. And so the walkthroughs, the consistency of that. The wow moment probably came for me. It was like before Baltimore, we had a practice that was designed only for situations. And I really pushed us to ones that come up a lot and some that don't come up very often. But their ability to execute on that day and what I would call winning time moments, that showed me, wow, like they've put in the work and they have an understanding of what we want to get done. Sideline catches, timeouts, long field goals, onside kicks. Those are the separators between winning and losing so many times. So I really wanted us to get tested and test the times, the thresholds. So that would have been my wow moment. I was expecting, let's hit that one again. Let's repeat that play. And I only did that probably twice in that whole practice where I was expecting, I bet, five or six more times that it wasn't quite right, because you don't really get a second chance when there's 6 seconds left and you have no timeouts and you got to get the ball out of bounds. Like, either you do or you don't. And so that was a good sign for me that both sides of the ball on teams, like, they've been putting in that work in the winning time. So that would be my wow moment. We got a lot of work to do. Just, that's how I feel about practice, man. You just keep going for it, Donna, and eventually you keep getting better and better. But I like that we had a really good practice yesterday. It sometimes feels weird. Okay, who's here? Who's back? It's like this unusual spot. It's better than for some of the old heads in the room that when you covered the team, it went from like a lot to a little really fast. So with the extended practice squad, that helps. But I was pleased on the first day that we were able to really step into a rhythm together. All right. See you, everybody.
That was Commanders head coach Dan Quinn at media availability. So a lot of good stuff in there. He did mention a couple of absences. There are some guys that are having children, or their wives, I should say, are having children today. My wife will occasionally send me TikToks from Mikey Sanderstill's wife, and she was like very pregnant. So I believe they are having children today. So congratulations and best of luck to the wives, because they're the ones doing the hard work there. I do want to point one thing out. We're going to dive a little bit more into some of the things that Dan Quinn said. And there's also one other thing that Adam Peter said yesterday that I want to play that is massive. But I do want to point out the Commanders signed Donovan Edwards to their practice squad. I love Donovan Edwards. I think this is a fantastic move for Washington. What does it mean initially? Not much. Like, he's a practice squad player. Are we going to see Donovan Edwards in an actual jersey this year? Maybe not. I mean, I don't know how much we can expect a practice squad player to move up. However, what I'm excited about is that Donovan Edwards came from a championship pedigree at Michigan. He was supposed to be awesome in 2024, and he was not. He was just fine. He was on the cover of EA Sports College Football, which is kind of like a hilarious thing. It was Quinn Ewers, Travis Hunter, and Donovan Edwards. One of those guys won the Heisman. One of them was drafted in like the sixth or seventh round, that being Quinn Ewers. And the other one was not drafted and is now on Washington's practice squad. So not the best three guys to pick initially for the return of that video game. However, Donovan Edwards is explosive. That's why they signed him. They took him to the practice squad because the one thing that he did it well against Ohio State. He did it well in the championship game that Michigan ended up winning against Washington. He creates explosive plays. When he hits the hole and there's a gap there, he can take what is normally a 7-yard gain and potentially make it a 25 to a 30-yard gain. He has real speed. He ran a 4.4 in the combine or at his pro day. I think he used his pro day 40. He ran a 4.4 leading up to the draft, but he has 4.4 speed with the ball in his hands too. So I really like the addition of Donovan Edwards as much as I like most practice squad additions, probably a little bit more. But I think that is, I'm never going to be upset at the organization who is attempting to build a championship culture for signing guys that played in really big games in college with the hopes that maybe if you do come up to the roster, that things are going to be really, really well, and you'll be prepared for games that you're playing. It's one of the reasons why, you know, Booger McFarland talked about this earlier when he joined us. If you missed that conversation, you can rewind on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or it'll be available on podcast. Jane Daniels is a guy that played in really tough environments. Well, Donovan Edwards is that too. So he's just on the practice squad, but the addition of a guy at running back where you can never have too many running backs, explosive playmakers, I am a big, big fan of the addition of one Donovan Edwards. So a couple of other things that Dan Quinn mentioned, plus one comment Adam Peters made that should have everybody smiling ear to ear. It's Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980.